This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. Well, the Capitals are back from their break. The All-Star game has happened. Willie Bebe is back from Toronto showing off his new yellow sweater. I got to say, I never want to see Tom Wilson in a yellow sweater again. That just makes me sad. Makes me think he's going to be a Penguin, and I don't like it. But the Caps seem well-rested. So well-rested, they forgot to wake up for that matchup against the Montreal Canadiens last night. That was rough. Not going well here in Caps world. But joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
I'd be better if the Caps were better. I'll say that. The Capitals are not performing well. This is not a good year. I brought it up like 2 or 3 weeks ago saying, I think this might be the season. I really think this might be the season. I think this is it. We've got 10 weeks left in this season. I don't know how the Capitals are going to turn it around. They had some absolutely horrendous play. Like, this did not look like the NHL level caliber that we needed. But before we get into that, this is not a great segue or anything about that. I do want to start off with the show, though, and say that, you know, we wish Yevgeny Kuznetsov the best. He decided to step away from hockey, and he is joining the NHL Player Assistance Program. Dan, I know, like, we're not going to sit on this show and speculate, why is he in there? What's going on? We're happy that he decided that he needed help, that he reached out for help. We're happy that he's getting the help that he needs to continue being a good person. And we wish him the best. We can't wait to see him back on the ice. But he's got to do a little taking care of himself right now. And we're not going to fault him for that. We're not going to speculate why. But Yevgeny Kuznetsov is doing everything he can to make himself a better person right now, which he's allowed to take that time to do that. And, you know, it's what needs to be done right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reality of it is that something in his life is not right. And he's smart enough. He's strong enough to know that he can't necessarily do it all on his own and that he needs help. And I think that's an important thing. I think that's a commendable thing for him and that he's getting the help that he needs. And I think it's really easy for us as fans and supporters of teams to lose sight of the reality that these are still people. Like, you and I sit on here, and I know this going in, and we talked about this on the show before. We sit here and we talk about, oh, this guy needs to be traded, this guy's garbage, whatever the case may be. These are still human beings, right? And the reality of sports and professional sports is that you can be moved at any minute and not move to, like, from one department to another in the same building, right? You're going to move to another part of the country. You might even be moved out of the country depending on the sport you're playing in. And so these are massive changes, not for them, for their families. If they, you know, younger guys maybe don't have the wife and the kids, but, you know, these are big deals, and these are human beings in the end. And I think that's one thing that we have to remember. And I think he deserves his privacy. I think it's important that he's doing what he needs to do to get right himself. And I applaud him for doing it. And the effect that this is going to have on this team in terms of not having him on the ice is 100% irrelevant. Like, it doesn't matter. Hockey doesn't matter if you're not right as a person. Does that make sense? I feel like I said that in my head. It made more sense than when it came out of my mouth. But, like, him being okay and ready to get up in the morning and you know, be with his wife and his kids, that's more important than him playing a game on ice. So I think the most important thing is for him to be okay, and then we can start worrying about Yevgeny Kuznetsov, the hockey player, right? Like, we sat here, we were talking to Ryan last week about how this team needs to move on from him. That's probably still the reality, but that's irrelevant at the moment for him as an individual. He needs to be okay, and then we can start worrying about him on the ice. And are these two things connected? We don't know, but it doesn't matter. Evgeny Kuznetsov, the hockey player, doesn't matter right now. Evgeny Kuznetsov, the human being, is what matters.
Yes, and it seems like Evgeny Kuznetsov is taking care of himself right now. We wish him all the best. And, yeah, so let's talk about how the team is going to adapt without Evgeny Kuznetsov on the ice. They've already done a recall from the Hershey Bears. We've seen Scarbosa added to the lineup. What did you think of that recall? Were you surprised that that's who they picked to come up from Hershey? Do you expect him to stay here long? What are your thoughts?
I was surprised at first. I was like, this is the perfect opportunity for Hendrix Lapierre to come up and really like play consistently over a number of games and get a good opportunity. But then the more I thought about it, I was going, you know, he can come up here and play with a team that's struggling. And yeah, he gets a good amount of experience, but how much ice time is he going to get? And how many opportunities is he going to get on the power play or the penalty kill or whatever the case may be? Or he could be, you know, top line center, given out another lineup, but a top line center in Hershey on the best team literally in the league, both point wise and likely reality, and continue to play big minutes on a really good team with a good opportunity in the power play and get some leadership opportunities potentially. I mean, they do have a lot of good older players. And so, you know, I thought, I was like, okay, I get why they haven't called him up. And you give a guy like Scarbosa an opportunity. You're looking for a third or a fourth line guy. If you want to move Dowd around, we know that he likes having Dowd and Aubé Kubel and Beck Malenstein together, that he being Spencer Carberry. And so it did make a lot of sense. And I was like, you know, what about Ethan Frank? Or who's the other dude? Patrick, is it Dube or Dubé? He, you know, they're tearing it up, but they're, unless I'm mistaken, I believe they're wingers. And so I don't know if those guys are under contract by the Caps. So it kind of makes sense to me in terms of like bringing him up. Now, we don't know if Scarbosa is going to be necessarily sticking around for a while in terms of if he's the guy, you know, playing a third line or fourth line. We know how much Carberry likes hanging on to or keeping Dowd and Malenstein and Aubé Kubel together. I wasn't really surprised that Matthew Phillips didn't get that spot. He's not a center. He's a winger. And so, you know, we don't know if he's going to be the guy going forward, if they're going to kind of switch things around. It also depends on the upcoming trade deadline and what happens there. There's a lot of rumors we know about like Dowd potentially being on the market and him having a lot of teams that are interested in him. And that could certainly be a big difference in terms of the return, whether they're going to have to hang on to Scarbosa because they need someone to literally play in the center spot, or what that might mean for Lapierre. I imagine Bears fans will be mad if they call up a bunch of good young players, considering how much they're tearing it up in the AHL right now. But it's not like they're not going to get them back for the playoffs. They're going to get them back for the AHL playoffs.
That was going to be my next question to you. Like, I know that the Hershey Bears and the AHL are farm teams, and it's what's important is if your NHL club is doing well. But at the same time, if you're the coach of the Hershey Bears, are you like, guys, I kind of got a job to do here. I really can't have you taking all of my best guys. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you think they handle that?
Well, to be fair, they're just borrowing them. Like,
sure,
they are technically
like,
on loan from the Capitals.
Yeah, if they're not playing if they're in D.C., they can't be playing for Hershey. So I know, like, the front office and the Hershey Bears are probably like, hey, we really could use that guy who scored all the goals this year.
We'd like him back, please. And so, no, I mean, I think that's reality. But I also think it's not going to necessarily impact them in the long run because, like I said, they're going to get him back for the playoffs.
Right.
And so, I mean, the Bears' last game is before the playoffs, barring a catastrophic collapse, and April is on the 20th, so I think they'll be all right. But I think right now with this Capitals team, I think a lot of things are kind of in flux. I think they were before the news broke about Kuznetsov, and so I'm not concerned about where this team is going forward, because I don't think there is a a future for this team this season in terms of the playoffs. And that's not necessarily like, I'm not going to go in this and be like, well, fire everybody, start over. Like, there was a piece that came out from Russian Machine recently about sort of the risks that Brian McClellan took with a number of players like Pacioretty, like Oshie, and a couple other guys in terms of keeping them around or signing them or trading for like Joel Edmondson and another guy who's being rumored to be on the trade block. I mean, the fourth period stating that Edmondson goes to Edmonton. Come on. It's like right there, everybody. You know, they're interested. The Colorado, Toronto are all interested in him. They traded a third and a seventh for this guy. They need to get back something better than that. You know, then I'm looking at the deal going, you traded your third round pick for a second round pick? Like, okay. Or you got a third and a fourth or a third and a fifth back. You know, you've gotten a little better than what you got before. So, you know, then the deal I'm looking at going, okay. But these are things that McClellan tried to do that just didn't work out. But we talked about this last week. He's kind of hamstrung by the fact that, like, Ovechkin's chasing this record. Like, I really think this team would have gone more, full rebuild if it hadn't been for this record that Ovechkin's chasing. So there's a lot of things that are going to be in play before the trade deadline. When is the trade deadline?
March
8th. I keep forgetting the date. March 8th. So it's coming up in
2 weeks?
Some odd.
3 weeks?
Is it two? No, it's got... Yeah, 3 weeks.
No, we're recording on the 7th. It's definitely not 2 weeks. Yay, math.
When did I say it was? March what?
8th.
8th? So it's four weeks.
1 month. 1 month.
So it's a month. But as we saw last year, and starting already, a lot of the big deals went down before the deadline. So I think we're going to see more and more things happen earlier on as teams are gearing up for the playoffs. And we'll talk about kind of the two bigger names that already got traded and how that's going to change things for this team, for the Capitals, that is, going into it. And like, are they buyers? Are they sellers? I personally think they're going to be a bit of both, like last year, where, yeah, they did a bunch of selling with, you know, Orlov and, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. Fourth line winger, Garnett Hathaway.
Garnett Hathaway.
They were sellers in that regard. But I also think they could be buyers in the sense of, like, they brought in Rasmus Sandin by sending Gustafsson in a first to Toronto. And, like, could they do that again to acquire a top six center or a top six winger that's kind of buried on a good, really good team's depth chart? And that team's like, look, we kind of have a plethora of good wingers or good centers. Center's a little harder to come by. Like, you know, we can afford to give this guy away because he's really not going to crack our top six because we have, you know, A and B here. So, you know, there's a lot of different things going on. There's been a lot of talk about Charlie Lindgren, mostly amongst fans, in terms of whether he could be traded. So this Capitals team could look considerably different after the trade deadline.
Now, with Yevgeny Kuznetsov taking his personal leave of absence, does that change your mind of what the Capitals will be at the trade deadline? You know, we're talking about, will they be buyers? Will they be sellers? Yevgeny Kuznetsov leaves a giant hole in that center spot now. Maybe not as big as it was a couple of years ago, but, you know, he still was a guy that they counted on. But we don't know how long he'll be away. We don't know if he'll be back even this season. I mean, like I said, there's 10 weeks left in this year. Will he be back in time for that? I don't know. Will they make a push for the playoffs? I doubt it. But because a guy is going to miss the rest of your season, are they going to go out now and get a center that's not going to be a rental? I doubt that. But do you think that with the absence of Yevgeny Kuznetsov, that their priorities has changed as it pertains to trades?
I mean, I'd say no. Like, him being out, if this was a team that was really in that playoff hunt or in the playoffs, if they were, you know, second, third in the division, so they're in the playoff spot or in that first wild card spot, you're looking at it going, yeah, all right, I could see that. But I could see how it could play a role, and it definitely changes their plan of being buyers at the deadline, need to go out and acquire a top six, a top two center playing with, you know, Strom. But I think because this team is struggling as it is, and they're just not a good enough team to go to the playoffs this year. And because of that, it doesn't really make a difference. I think in the off season, it could potentially make a difference depending on how long Kuznetsov is away from the team. But for now, no, because they're just not good. Like, it doesn't affect them because they suck. And there's a bunch of, you know, potential reasons for that, whether it's because Carberry, you know, is he a good coach or not? As a head coach, I mean, we have yet to see an answer to that question. Does he have the players he needs to play his system? I'm inclined to say no, because if these are the guys that can play his system, then his system is crap because it clearly doesn't work. But I don't think that's the case. I really think that they can go into this offseason potentially with a big retool and bring in guys that will fit his system. And they're going to likely have the cap space to do it because of the likely retirement of Nicholas Backstrom. Because of, we'll see what happens with Kuznetsov. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline in terms of potentially getting out from under a number, not a number, but a couple of high price guys. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what the team looks like. And there'll be so much more to know in terms of what the future may look like, or have a better idea in terms of what the future may look like after the trade deadline. Because if they, let's say they move Dowd and Edmondson, not that I necessarily thought he was like a big part of the future, but like, and Lindgren and whatever else. Like, if you move Lindgren, Hunter Shepard's probably coming up, because I don't think they're going to bring up Clay Stevenson to have him just sit, given how much he's tearing it up, and he might be the future guy, right? Like, I think Hunter Shepard comes up, but what does that mean for this team in terms of going into, you know, are they going to go out and have to get another goalie, or are they going to go with Kemper, who really hasn't had he's had an okay season. He's been kind of up and down. So I'm, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to be interesting. A lot of things that will be interesting over the next month in terms of this team and where they're at and what kind of moves they might make. And so, you know, there's one guy we'll talk about a bit that we kind of talked about last week that of course got traded after we recorded that the Capitals were rumored to be interested earlier in the season. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. So, you know, we'll see what happens with this team. I'm very curious to see what happens to the team at the deadline, because I think they're potentially both, depending on the deals that may present themselves. But can they go get another Rasmus Sandin? Not defensively, necessarily, like a forward. Sandin was buried on Toronto's depth chart. They didn't have a spot for him necessarily. And they figured, you know what, we'll take a first-round pick and Gustafsson to bring him in. And that's worked out, you know, probably for them because they got a first-round pick. And it worked out well for the Caps because they have a likely big part of their defensive core going forward in Sandin. Do they, as Ryan talked about, do they trade John Carlson? And what could that bring in that they could then flip? Because if I remember correctly, that first round pick wasn't theirs. It was a pick Boston's. They got from another. Yeah. So the trade, because they traded Orlov and Hathaway to Boston, right? So yes. That pick from that trade, they then turned around into Sandin, which, given the fact that you're probably not going to sign Orlov in the offseason, even though he reportedly wanted to come back, the reality of it is they were able to retool and be both sellers and buyers. So I'm curious if McClellan's going to do that again. I think he will if the right deal becomes available, but it's scouting those other teams, which we see on here, according to David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period. He's our editor in chief. The Caps have scouts. There's also 14 other teams that have scouts at the Dallas Toronto game tonight. So they're definitely looking around. They're looking at teams. You know, you go look at these good teams, like, which guy just can't crack the lineup or top six role because he's just buried behind really, really good players on a really good team. Can I go get that guy? Because, you know, Toronto, like with Sandin, like, look, we don't have a spot for this dude. Let's move him out. Get some, you know, draft capital or prospects or whatever, or a winger or whatever for him. Can the Caps do the same thing? What I don't want to see at the deadline is they go and they bring in like a 33-year-old in the last year of his contract. Like, I don't need that. Go away. Not unless we're getting a high draft pick and a you know, early 20s or mid-20s, you know, top six potential forward. Like, that's what I want. Because they can retool.
But do the Capitals have anything to trade? Like, I mean, it's... I mean, like, yeah, I don't... You brought up Nick Dowd and you brought up Joel Edmondson, but is anybody out there going, like, maybe as a package deal, you get a number one draft pick for both of those guys together. But, like, besides maybe Anthony Mantha, who actually is doing well this year, I don't really think there's anybody out there going like, huh, that guy on the Caps, you know, if he came into our system, we could really do something with him. I think Dowd is the only guy that people are talking that way about.
Well, Edmonton, you know, according to the fourth period is, I don't know what Edmonton, Colorado, or Toronto want to give. I mean, these are all good teams. And so, you know, it's curious to see what they might, or do you get a pick from them and then, you know, package a couple picks for a winger or something along those lines? Or do you do what Ryan was talking about last week, trade John Carlson? You know, if you're a team, our buddy Dan Holme from Locked On Capitals, he was talking, was it earlier this week or no, late last week, talking about some teams that might be interested in Charlie Lindgren and how they would kind of solidify their goaltending. One of them being the New Jersey Devils, he brought up. And I think Edmonton was another one. I'm blanking on the line. It might have been the Islanders.
I feel like goaltenders, though, are a hard sell at the trade deadline. Like when you're starting off fresh in the offseason.
Like if you're a playoff team, like if you're New Jersey and you're looking at it going, because where are the Devils?
Is that where Vitek still is?
Yeah, but he's not having a good year. Like if you're the Islanders, right? You got 54 points. You're 4 points behind Toronto. 4 points behind Detroit in the wild card spot. And you're like, look, we need to make the playoffs. Our coach is Patrick Waugh. If we don't make the playoffs, he's going to beat up all of us. So we need to make this work. Maybe the Islanders are great because they didn't Varlamov off. But if you're the Devils, right, you really push it for the playoffs because you're like, we got really good team here. We're just not getting the goaltending. There's that guy in Washington who we could bring in. He's under team control. Is he under for another year? He's got another year on his deal at not a lot of money. Do the Capitals go, I don't know what Vitek's on. Could they bring him back in the trade and get something else from the Devils? Is like, you know, switch. But there's opportunity. I mean, I think it isn't so much how they've been doing on the Caps. It's what the other teams think they can do with that player. So you look at it and go, oh, yeah, well, Nick Dowd's definitely someone people are interested in. Is he worth a first-round pick as a fourth-line center? That's up to the other team. Like, if they think, look, we are a really good team, but we need to solidify our checking line. We need a guy that's going to come in and win faceoffs and stop the other team's top players from scoring. How much are you willing to give up to have the opportunity to win a cup by getting a guy like Nick Dowd? A first? Maybe, depending on the team. A high prospect? Maybe, depending on the team. It's not so much how they do with the Caps. It's what can they do for the other team. So, I mean, if I'm looking at this Caps roster, guys that could bring in a lot. Dowd, Lindgren, a lot being kind of in air quotes, but like Dowd, Lindgren, Edmondson, Van Riemsdyk, Jensen, Carlson. I don't love the idea of trading John Carlson, but I think we have to be realistic. And that frees up even more money. Mantha. And that's probably, you know, where we stop into, like, I don't think anybody's going to take Milano given his injury history this year, though it sounds like he might be coming back and not the next game, potentially this weekend or maybe next week. Milano might be able to play again.
Right. It was his first time in a regular jersey and not a non-contact jersey this week.
They want to get him a couple practices in and get him up to speed, which I think makes a lot of sense. And so
it's been 2 months since he played.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of possible guys that the Caps could be really interested. I mean, the Caps could be interested in trading. The other teams might go, this guy might be able to help us kind of get that last step or get to that last spot so that we can really fight for something in the playoffs. Because once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. LA Kings did it a bunch of times. The Caps knocked out the Bruins when they were the defending cup champs. So crazier things have happened. And we know at the deadline, it's the silly season. We're getting into it now. So I'm very curious. And I think if the Capitals are smart, they'd make some of these trades sooner rather than later, because if we're Brian McClellan, you got to look at this thing and go, yeah, we're not that good. So let me see what I can do to kind of retool this thing and help Ovechkin get a center that he might be able to play a little bit better with, that he clicks with. And, you know,
is that still a selling point, you think, to bring people in being like, hey, you know, you could be the center for Alex Ovechkin. Like is that a selling point still to players in the league?
I think there are only so many spots in the NHL to play that I don't think a ton of people are going to turn away or turn their nose up and playing with the Caps. Because I think you look at this team from the outside, They've got a young coach that, even though this hasn't been a great season, they've got a young coach that has a lot of promise. They've got one of the greatest goal scorers of all time that you have the opportunity to play with and learn from. But we've also heard how this is a good organization to work for. You've got a nice building to play. It's not like Capital One, even though they're likely moving away from there. It's not like Capital One's a dump. Like, it's a nice building to play in.
Right.
You've got a supportive fan base that, yes, we've seen that the TV numbers have gone down, but I think that's mostly because it's not very good. Yeah, I know, but they're just, like, winning puts butts in the seats and it gets people to watch, and they're just not very good right now, and it's hard to watch. Because it's not like they're losing games 6-5. They're losing 6-1. So it's like, they're not a very entertaining team to watch right now.
Yeah.
So if I'm biased, obviously, because I'm a fan of the team. I'm literally wearing my brand new Caps hat that I just got today. You can't really see it because it's all black, but it says Washington Capitals, and then it's got the Weagle logo right here. But I think that anyone could look at this team and go, you know what? They've got some good players here, and they've got some good guys coming up probably from the minors in the next couple, you know, next year, year after that, the year after that. And you're like, you know what? There's something here to keep an eye on, because this is a Capitals team that, if all things come out more or less as they should, as they're projected to be, they will be a good team again. How long from now? Who knows? But they will be a good team again. They've got a decent center with of the forwards, I should say, with Strome, McMichael, LaPierre coming along. We'll see kind of who centers the fourth line if Dowd gets traded. And they've got a couple promising guys on the wings. We talked with Ryan last week about a couple of them. You got Mira Stachenko down in Hershey now. So, the future of this team, I think it's pretty bright. It's kind of a little further away than I think a lot of us are hoping and used to seeing.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty far away. And I think it's just from reading the stat that you have in our notes here that in the last 5 games, the Capitals have had a lead for just 64 seconds.
Yeah,
in 5 games. That's really bad. Like, that's really, really bad. Like, I feel like if this were your favorite European football, if this were to continue, the Capitals would be booted down to the AHL next year.
Okay, hold on. Let's actually see if that would be the case. So where's the standings? The league. So depending on the league and depending on the country, it's usually the bottom 3 teams. So they are, no, they're 22nd. They wouldn't be what's called relegated. They would not be relegated. Right now, it would be the Anaheim Ducks, San Jose, and Chicago. I don't know why Anaheim got the full name. But Anaheim, San Jose, and Chicago would all be relegated. And then Hershey, see, this doesn't work because, like, you can't have Hershey. Well, you kind of can. But, like, no, that wouldn't work. You can't trade players with the NHL team. You can. You can't loan players between NHL teams. But, like, Hershey and, I think, Providence, and I forget the other one. Someone in the Western Conference. Not Coachella. Sorry, I'm tired. I can't remember who it was. But they would come up. It doesn't work that way in American sports because of, like, the whole, like, loaning players between AHL, NHL, ECHL. It would be like you'd loan players to other countries and have affiliations there. So that doesn't work. But right now, I mean, the Caps would be what would be called a mid-table side, but, like, not a good one. So, I mean, they're not a good team. They're an older team. They kind of try to see what they could squeeze out of their core and Ovechkin and Backstrom and Oshie and Carlson. And I think they're all dried up, man. Like, there's nothing left. Not with this team as it is now. I think McCollum took a couple shots with a couple guys. It just hasn't worked. I think it's either Carberry's not the guy or his system, he doesn't have the players for it. It's one or the other, I think. And they're going to have to fix this thing. And I think it starts at the trade deadline. I think it started last year to an extent when you made some moves. You know, you got out from under some salary. You brought in Sandin. You made some moves in the offseason in terms of, like, the draft. And, you know, we'll see what happens at this deadline in this summer. But I think they need to be pretty busy. And it needs to be a collaboration between McClellan and Carberry. If Carberry's their guy, for all we know, McClellan can be like, look, we're going to ride it out And then in the off season, we're going to go in a different direction because this didn't work. I think
from
there's
the
like
coach?
A 50-50.
No.
I mean, it depends. So if you're.
He's probably got a 3-year contract at the very minimum. So he's here for at least 3 years.
If you think that you could bring in a different coach that can get Ovechkin the goals he needs to pass Gretzky, you're going to do it.
I don't know.
Like, are you willing to look back at this thing at the end of his career and go, he was 20 away.
Could if this coach, that? If this coach doesn't work, Uncle Teddy is getting rid of McClellan before he gets rid of the coach.
You bring in a new GM, he's going to want to hire his own coach. Yes. If McClellan goes, Carberry's likely going with him. I think Carberry could work in the NHL. I think it's more he doesn't have the players for his system. Though I question why it's taking so freaking long for these guys to figure out how to play. And I don't like the constant conversation of like, well, we just didn't play well enough. Well, that's on you, man. You're the coach. Like, make them play
they
well
seem,
enough.
A lot of the players seem disinterested to be on the ice. They really do. Like, I'm hoping with this dad's trip coming up this next week or so that these guys kind of get a spark underneath them. But to me, it looks like they're just treading water. They're just waiting for the next 10 weeks to be over. Like, to me, the season's already done in their eyes. They seem unmotivated.
Might have been done a while ago.
Yeah.
Just based on they've been playing. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm very curious to see over the next month what happens with this team.
Well, what else should we cover here in Caps World?
I mean, the other bit of news that was interesting that came out was some conversations about the Potomac Yard project and the Capitals moving their rink over there. Okay, before we get into that, can we talk about how the name Potomac Yard, like, hey, I'm going to go see the Caps, you know, over Potomac Yard or the Wizards. God, can we change their name? I don't know which name I hate more, the Wizards or the Commanders.
You don't like any names.
That's not true. Capitals is great. Mystics. I don't mind Mystics. It doesn't really make any sense. Like, it doesn't represent the city, but like in the area, but it's fine. It's kind of fun. What other names do I not like? I just don't like Commanders and Wizards.
I don't know. You just seem to hate everything.
Nobody likes Wizards. I mean, I'm sorry. Nobody likes Commanders. I'm sure some people like Wizards. It's whatever. Anyways, like, I like the name Potomac Yard. Like, hey, they're going to go play in Potomac Yard. You heading over that way? Maybe it's more of a European football thing where, like, they call... Sometimes I call stadiums, like, based on the area. It doesn't matter. Anyways, there's some conversations amongst, like, what it's going to be like with the Metro over there, which they have to expand upon if they think this is going to work out. And this whole time, Metro has been like, can you guys talk to us about what's happening? But now part of that, I understand, it hasn't actually been approved yet. Like, this deal could still plummet if the city people over there are like, yeah, no thanks. We don't want this nonsense and all the traffic and all the headaches that it's going to bring. So
it was like the late 80s, wasn't it? It wasn't the late 80s where this same exact thing was happening with the football stadium. It was Potomac Yard. And they were
there was
this.
Like a press conference and a video and everything. And like, we're bringing the Skins to Potomac Yard. And then they built FedEx Field and it's a toilet bowl, like both literally in that and that poop flows from the ceiling. And so they had a consultant, Nick Donahue of Capital Transportation Consulting. So they had him do, I guess, like a researcher report on the project and says there will be extreme crowding for 60 to 90 minutes at the Metro station after the game if there are not significant improvements made.
No kidding.
That's potentially an hour and a half after the game has ended that they will have a night. That's, you know, for fans in Maryland, that's, you know, you still have another 45 minutes to an hour on the Metro. So that's 2.5 hours potentially to get home. That's if they don't make any, you know, major changes. I imagine, and my understanding is that there's in the plan, there was like a bunch of money that has been set up for the Metro. And we'll see if that ends up being legit. With significant improvements, there could be overcrowding for 30 to 45 minutes, which to me, I'm going, isn't that similar to what it is now at Gallery Place? And right. Like, credit to my sister, hi Sarah, for sending me this link. I think it was on NBC Sports or the Washington affiliate of NBC. And how I was like, well, 30 to 45 minutes, that's not that bad. I feel like when the Caps were good and had a lot of fans in the stands, which is like, I don't know. Well, I guess pre-pandemic, because since then, you know, it's been hard. But there, you know, it was about 30 to 45 minutes. Like, when I used to go to games, it would be you go and you go into the store for a little bit and use the bathroom and everything. And then you'd probably still be in the arena for another 30 minutes before I'd leave.
Yeah,
still
I'd
a
run
decent
like
amount
hell.
Of people. There'd still be you're one of the people that leaves for the last puck or for the last whistle, aren't you?
Yes, I
Are
am.
Are you that guy you're that guy at Camden Yards that leaves in the eighth?
I mean, now that I'm older, yes. But back in the day,
right,
I'm
out of the show. See ya. No, I'm just kidding.
I would leave.
Why would you do that? You're paying for the thing.
I know. Well, I would leave like right at the end of puck drop. Wouldn't stay for the three stars or whatever. I would leave, and then I would run to the metro stop before Capital One and get on there, and then go through past Capital One to get back to Silver Spring.
So you would go to this. Okay, so you go to downtown Silver Spring to get on the metro. Interesting.
Yes, yes. There's a parking garage there that is free to park past the old Discovery building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That, I mean, it doesn't make sense for me to go to, like, I'm closest to either, as a couple, Glenmont, Rockville, Twin Brook, Shady Grove. Like, I can hit up any one of those pretty easily. Wheaton, I've done a couple times. But no, that makes sense for Silver Spring to be the closest to you, because I guess you just go straight down 90. Wouldn't be New Carrollton be the closest for you on the Green Line? I mean, you have to change because you go straight down 95.
I just knew that there was free
this
parking.
This has been transportation talk with Brandon and Dan. We've gotten completely off topic. Anyways, going back to Tony Garden
thing. I'm cutting all of this.
So, no, this is a good talk. Because Gallery Place is at... It's been so long since I've been to a game. Gallery Place is the one at the Caps Arena, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's on the red, the green, and the yellow. If you got on Greenbelt or College Park, you take green straight there. Anyways, the Potomac Yard being on the blue and the orange, blue and the yellow. I'm not colorblind. I'm just an idiot. So, like, for fans in Maryland, you know, you're going to have to change no matter what. And to be fair, a lot of, you know, I was lucky to be on the red line, so it's easy for me to kind of do that U from one way or the other and get to the arena, which is more or less in the middle between the two stops I usually would go to. So they got to put money into the metro, because I imagine driving down there is going to be a nightmare, especially for weekday games in the evening.
Ain't happening.
The American Legion Bridge. And no matter which way you're going, my dad works in McLean, or he used to work in McLean. Now he works in Tyson's, and it's a massive undertaking to get anywhere. So that's a hot garbage. But no, I mean, there's still every opportunity for this plan to fall through, and they end up back in the city, be it at Capital One, be it somewhere else in the city. I think it'd be cool if he went and bought the Nats. Does he put the stadium, somewhere down there? Since the Nats have come in and DC United to a lesser extent with their new stadium, with Audi Field, that area has certainly grown. But, could he get some land in a deal with DC to keep the team in the city limits? Does he get some more land to build his big project that Leon just really wants to build, the monumental complex? Does he do that in the city with, like, Nats Park, Audi Field, and the new Caps Wizards Arena all being part of this, like, DC sports complex, which I think would be pretty cool. I'd rather that than the Potomac Yard thing. You know, it would kind of suck because I still would have to change trains, but you can always drive there. I've driven to Nats Park, I think, more than I've taken the Metro.
Let's see if it actually happens.
Nationals? What's a national?
Yeah, let's see if this whole thing actually happens. That's the biggest thing. Uncle Teddy's got plans, but I don't know if the rest of the city does.
Well, the Orioles being traded. This is now baseball talk. The Orioles being traded. That's the wrong term. The Orioles being sold, which was an amazing piece of news to get.
What a day.
The Orioles being sold now means that something's going to happen with Masson, which will then help the Nationals get traded. And we know that Leones just wants the Nats. So it's all, everything's starting to come together.
We're going to talk about it around the NHL, about the whole TV rights thing could be changing completely coming up pretty soon. Yeah,
that is true. And that's going to make it even more confusing. And if I could get my ESPN app to work on my phone a little bit better, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
I think that's it, man.
That's a long one, man. We this is like normally the length of the whole show. We're just filling up Caps talk right now with this.
Well, we did have a bit of an interruption. We'll see if the audience can find the spot where you edit out my children barging into my office.
Yeah. Well, hey, more bang for the buck for the fans and everybody listening out there. Thank you so much for listening to us ramble. But anyway, that is it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But first, here's a word from some of our sponsors. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 with wins over Bridgeport and Lehigh Valley. The Bears remain in first place in the Atlantic Division and the entirety that is the AHL with 74 points, 13 up on Providence for second in both the division and the league. Some Bears news. First, forward Ethan Frank won the CCM Fastest Skater event at this past weekend's AHL All-Star Weekend. This is actually the second time he's won that event, winning it last year when he set an AHL record of 12.915 seconds while at the All-Star Classic in Laval, Quebec. In some Bears jersey news, they wore their special third sweaters over the weekend. You wrote in the notes, I actually think they are pretty special. These are some nice jerseys. Like, if people haven't seen them, check them out.
I am not even kidding when I say this. They might be my favorite jerseys in all of sports. I absolutely love these script Hershey cream-colored third sweaters. I think they are sharp-looking. I absolutely love them. I understand why you don't want that to be your main one, but I don't understand it because they should be the main jersey because those things are beautiful. I absolutely love the Hershey Bears third sweaters. I had to bring them up in the notes because, man, they're sharp. I love them.
They're really, I mean, they're clean. They're nice. I like them. I like them a lot. I think they're really cool. Now, the Bears will be back at it on Friday in Providence before heading to Springfield on Saturday. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1, with both wins being over Atlanta. The Rays are currently third in the South Division with 54 points, one back of second-place Jacksonville, and 11 back of first-place Greenville. They'll be back at it with three back-to-back-to-back games, all against Savannah, with Thursday and Friday being away games before hosting the Ghost Pirates on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Next up, we're going around the NHL and beyond. But before we do that, here's another word from a couple of our sponsors. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Lots of stuff going on in the world of hockey. But Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, the silly season is officially upon us, as there have been two big trades made in the past week, with one being shortly after we recorded last week, because of course that would happen. First, Calgary sent center Elias Lindholm to Vancouver for winger Andre Kuzmenko, who the Caps are rumored to be interested in. Defenseman Hunter Brzustowicz, I definitely got that wrong, and Yoni Yermo, and a 2024 first-round pick, as well as a conditional 2024 fourth-round pick. The other trade, also involving a player the Caps are rumored to be interested in, saw Montreal send center Sean Monahan to Winnipeg for a 2024 first-round pick and a conditional 2027 third-round pick. Speaking of Winnipeg, defenseman Brendan Dillon, also formerly a Capital, was suspended for 3 games for an illegal check to the head of Pittsburgh's Noel Asiari. The NHL and the IIHF have agreed to allow NHL players to participate in the 2026 and the 2030 Winter Olympic Games.
I am so freaking excited about this. I love international hockey. I love everybody representing their countries. The fact that the NHL and the IIHF have already agreed that that will be happening, I am ecstatic that the next two Winter Olympics, that's going to be like, I'm gonna call out of work. That's what I'm going to do in 2026 and 2030. That's what I'm going to do, just to watch some of these USA games. But Coach Dan, I got a question for you. Even though it is 2 years away, do you see any Capitals representing their country in 2026? We got a lot of young talent in Hershey that could really make a splash in 2 years. Could we see a young Ryan Leonard representing Team USA at the Olympics? What are your thoughts?
I definitely don't see Ryan Leonard barring anything crazy happening. Not to be a shot at him, I just think it's too soon. To play on the U.S. team or the Canadian team or Sweden or even Russia to an extent, like, you have to be the best of the best. And while Leonard, I think, is going to be a good player, I don't know if I see him being, like, the best of the best. I'd love to be wrong. I think it would be nice to be wrong. I don't see that happening. In terms of guys that are currently on this roster, not really. The other problem is, I think Oshie, if he was a couple years younger, yeah, but at that point, I mean, in 2 years, he'll be, I don't know, because his thing isn't working. Come on, Caps website, load. I'm trying to get the roster. Something went wrong.
Let me tell you, Team USA and the IIHF loves to share the Oshie in Sochi shootout.
Yeah, they do.
Man, that is like the go-to clip when they're talking about NHL players in the Olympics.
I mean, I think someone like, where's Strom from? Never mind, he's Canadian. There's going to be too many other guys in front of him for him to make the team. Like, Tom Wilson, maybe, has like an outside chance, but I just don't see that happening. Ovechkin, if he's still playing, probably will be on the Russian team. John Carlson, I think he's going to have too many other players that are a bit younger that will take that spot. You know, Rasmus Sandin, maybe, playing on the Swedish team, if he can pick his game up considerably. Yeah, that's about it. But the reality is the team could look so different in 2 years. It seems to look so different probably in like 6 months that...
Oh, sure.
It's too hard to say who you think from the Caps might have an opportunity. You know, Miro Stachenko, maybe, playing on the Russian team. Are they even going to be allowed to play at that point?
I mean, with the way things are looking right now, they might still be at war with Ukraine in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be part of the, like, what do they call it in the last Olympics?
The Olympic athletes from Russia.
From Russia, yeah, something like that. So there's always that possibility for some of those guys.
Well, what about, like, Henrik Lapierre? I know, like, he even got skipped over for the World Juniors when he was eligible. So, like, could he make it? Could Connor McMichael make it? There's a lot of young talent on this team.
There is, but I think there's just too many good young Canadians, or even, like, mid-age in sports world Canadians that will be on the team ahead of them. That's to say they're not good players. You just have to be, like, especially with the Canadian team, you got to be the best of the best of the best. Like, it's that men in black line. So, I don't know. I don't see a lot of Caps players right now, but, you know, this team could look very different, and it's 2 years from now, so who is to say what can happen between then and now?
Could we even see Alexander Ovechkin in 2030? In 6 years, could he still be playing for the Russian national team?
At 44?
I mean, Yager did it, right? How old was Yager when he went up against Ovi?
Weirdo. Like, I don't know how he's pulling that off. Well, he doesn't.
That was Vancouver, wasn't it?
But that's different. I mean, you're talking about the Czech Republic team, which, no offense to them, it just doesn't have as many good players as a couple other teams.
Right. So,
you know, you got to fill those spots, I guess. But yeah, speaking of the Olympics, the mascots for the Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games in 2026 were revealed in Italy today. Tina and, is it Milo?
Milo.
Two Stoat siblings, identifiable by their different colored coats, will represent the Olympic Winter Games and the Paralympic Winter Games, respectively. Now, their names are diminutives of the two host cities, that being Tina for Cortina and Milo for Milano. So maybe it's Milo? Milo? I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
I think your kids would love these characters.
Well, my kid wants every single stuffed animal in the world.
I mean, yeah, makes
he's
sense.
Already got this kid loves his stuffies, as the kids call them now. And oh my God, like it's crazy how much he loves stuffed animals. And he just ran, like, we're listening to some Disney thing on the way home, and he goes, "Daddy, can you give me that stuffed animal?" And I'm like, "No, you have enough." This is crazy. 4 years old. I have to get rid of all these things at some point. All right, moving on. The rivalry series continues this week as Team USA and Hockey Canada squads will face off. Now, they're playing as we are recording in Saskatoon before going at it again on Friday night in Regina. And then on Sunday night in St. Paul, Minnesota. All games can be viewed on the NHL Network. Now, the U.S. currently leads the series 3-1, having won the first three games of the series before dropping game four in a shootout.
Now, we don't know. You guys listening to us know more than we do, and they could be up 4-1 at this point, or they could be, it could be 3-2 at this point. We don't know, but go USA.
Indeed. And finally, ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery announced this past Tuesday a joint venture for an all-in-one sports streaming service. Now, this joint venture will be offered directly to consumers and will include ESPN Plus, as well as access to 14 linear networks like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, SECN, I don't know what that is, ACCN, I don't really know, I'm guessing this is SEC Network, ACC Network, ESPN News, ABC, Fox, FS1, FS2, doesn't Disney own ESPN and Fox?
No, Fox is its own thing.
No, yeah, right, Fox kept the sports stuff in the deal they made before. Okay, so Fox, FS1, FS2, Big Ten. I'm just saying a bunch of letters throughout most of this part. Big Ten Network, TNT, TBS, here we go, and True TV. Now, this could be beneficial for consumers who potentially miss games due to them being on one specific streaming service. I want to know how much this is going to cost, and will it still be part of the streaming bundle with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN?
Now, allegedly, if you have Hulu, Disney Plus, this will be a part of a new bundle that you can buy. But it also, because this is these three different companies, like, you now will have access to Max. They're going to put all of this together. Basically, this is new cable, is what this is. Instead of being like,
we've gone full circle.
Yes,
we're here and we stream and we're back here again.
Yeah, so pretty much this is, like, I use YouTube TV because it's like almost $80. It's cheaper than cable, and cable in Baltimore City is $300 a month. So it was $80 for YouTube TV. I still got the Comcast or Monumental Sports Network. So I had my local channels and that kind of stuff. This right here, they're pretty much going after YouTube TV and Hulu live TV and everything, because sports is the only thing keeping live television in business, because nobody else is tuning in to watch The Walking Dead or to watch any primetime TV show anymore. No one's like, oh, I got to be in front of my TV at 8:00. They'll watch it on their own time, or they'll watch it on Hulu the next day without commercials or something like that. But no, there is no appointment television anymore except for sports. So the fact that they are all these three companies that are rivals are now working together to create this one sports streaming service, this is huge. This is going to change how we consume television, how we consume content. And you look at it, like, the Capitals are on ESPN some nights, they're on TNT some nights, and you need two separate services to get that sometimes. So now, if you're a cord cutter, you got one spot, and you're going to have UFC and hockey and AEW and NFL games, because they're going to have Fox games and ESPN Monday Night Football. The only thing missing right here is NBC and Prime. So, like, this honestly is going to be a huge game changer on how we consume content and how we consume television networks, because if they're all going to work together like this, we're back to just having cable again.
And it'll cost $11 billion.
I've heard they're thinking this one sports streaming service will cost about $50 a month. That's what I've heard is the rumor. And here's the thing. This is the other thing that they're worried about. Also, I'm sorry. This is like my TV nerds ideas coming out. Like the networks are all worried.
Everybody.
They're so worried about this thing called churn. And the churn is people that continually month after month after month sign up for something. So if you are an NFL fan and you get YouTube TV or something for just that one section of the year and then you turn it off, this is they're hoping you're going to stick around for the other sports. Like I bought Sling TV to watch the World Juniors and it was $50 and it was one tournament for 2 weeks. Like if they were able to get the IIHF involved with this and I get that, and I get the NHL, and I get the NFL, and I get my wrestling AEW fix in one spot, I'm more likely to churn and when one season ends, go into the next season like baseball or football, etc. So, like, this is a brilliant idea. I'm glad they're all going to work together, but this really could change how we spend our money and how we, you know, how we consume content. This really is a big-time game changer.
I mean, I'm curious myself to see where this goes. But, yeah, that's the news for the past week in the NHL. And
all right, Coach Dan, is that the show? Have we covered everything?
That's it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. You can follow us both over on X. You can follow me at BrandoCash.
Stop that.
Coach Dan, where can you people follow you on X and Y and Z?
It's such a stupid name. Like, take the horrible person out of the guy. Like, take the owner out of the conversation. It's dumb. Like, Twitter in itself. Like, take that name out and you're like, this is also stupid. Like, what's a Twitter? Right? Like, the whole thing is dumb. But anyways, you can find me on there at... You can find me on there at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. Also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, back in the win column, getting some big win over Liverpool this past weekend. You can find me on there talking about the Bills and the Commanders and some interesting things going on regarding the Commanders and the upcoming as in April, draft. That's finding me on that decrepit dumpster fire of a website / social media organization. At WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and the National Hockey League. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Now, Brandon, there is a very big football game coming up this weekend.
Ugh.
Both of us can go, ugh. I mean, you guys had a better shot, but that's like the point. Who do you have winning the big game?
None of us, because no one cares, because this game is stupid. I'm not bitter. Yeah. I don't want the Chiefs to win. I don't like Travis Kelce anymore after what he did to Justin Tucker.
Okay,
but Patrick Mahomes is really good.
Well, I'm not going to get into the whole Tucker, Mahomes, Kelce thing and how, like, pretty much everybody's at fault there.
I don't think so. But I don't.
If you are a supporter of Brandon's and Justin Tucker's, Brandon, is there a podcast they should check out?
You can check out my latest episode of The Call. Me and my buddy Josh, we talk about the Baltimore Ravens season ending and where they might go next. We're still trying to figure out what to do in the offseason and who they're going to trade away and that kind of stuff. But you can subscribe to my podcast called The Call. Coach Dan, give me a high five. That's right. Time out.
I believe, unless I missed this earlier, the NHL has some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
The 2025 Discover NHL. Oh, I hate that I included that. NHL Winter Classic is heading to Wrigley Field.
Really?
It'll be the St. Louis Blues taking on the Chicago Blackhawks.
Wow.
At Wrigley, that is pretty cool.
Giving the game to Connor Bedard.
Now, it was last at Wrigley in 2009, so it's definitely been a while, but that is pretty cool. So, that little break in news as we are recording.
Love me some Winter Classic.
Who do you have in the game this weekend?
I'm going with San Francisco because Mahomes and Kelsey are on my last nerve. But I
want to
see.
Who do you want to win? Who do you think is going to win?
I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to win, but I would be really happy if they didn't. And I want to see George Kittle do well. He's a big wrestling fan like I am. So I'd like to see George Kittle get a touchdown or two. And Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, getting to the Super Bowl is a pretty great story. So I'd like to see that just so they can make a movie about it. But, you know.
They totally would.
Yeah. That's a great movie. The title is right there. Mr. Irrelevant. That's the title.
Oh,
Disney's already
so
making
true.
It. Right? You know, that
are
is
they?
An easy movie. I can only assume.
That's probably fair.
I can only
you know
assume.
What? I feel like this is the Niners' best opportunity because the Chiefs kind of backed into this one a little bit. Right? Like, the Ravens beat themselves.
Yeah.
And the Bills should have won that game. Like, this is the Niners' opportunity to get a win. So I think the 49ers come away. It's going to be a close game, but I think the 49ers come away with it.
I would love that. I would love that. I think that's great. I would love to see Travis Kelce cry, but that's just me. His girlfriend's pretty cool. I don't care. all right, so let's go over the games until we talk again. The Capitals have four games until we talk again on February 8th, Thursday, February 8th. The Capitals are up against the Florida Panthers in Florida. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. On Saturday the 10th, the Capitals travel to Boston. Man, what? That is a very rude road trip. You go from bright and sunny Florida up to Boston? Jeez, go the other way around, guys.
Warm front. There's a warm front coming through this area, so I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, maybe. And then that game is at 3:30 in the afternoon. That's weird. And you can watch that one on broadcast TV, ABC, and ESPN+. And then on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, the Capitals are up against their bitter rivals, the Vancouver Canucks, in D.C. That one's at 1:30. You can watch that on the Monumental Sports Network. And then on Tuesday, February 13th, the Capitals are up against the Colorado Avalanche in D.C. That's a 7 o'clock game, and you can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. So some odd timing here for this weekend, 3:30 and 1:30. Coach Dan, that's a back-to-back. What are you doing here? What goalie's getting what game?
See, I think Lindgren gets Florida. Like, he got pulled against Montreal, but I don't think that was because of him. That was because of everybody else. I'm going... Kemper against Boston, Lindgren against Vancouver. But part of me wouldn't be surprised to see Lindgren start both.
I mean, they've done that in the past. They've done that before.
Yeah. I think you go Kemper and Lindgren.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
That's my guess.
Well, I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. Hey, if you'd like to check us out, make sure you check us out on Facebook, like Coach Dan said, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Don't forget, we also are on YouTube where you can watch some reels and shorts. Subscribe to our channel, Brando Cash Pods. And if you're checking out some of the reels and shorts and you dig the shirt I'm wearing, this is by True Classic. If you use my unique URL that is in the show notes, you can get 25% off your next order at True Classic. So definitely go check them out. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Four games until we talk again. So everybody, that's a lot of hockey. It's going to be a hard road. These are some really good teams. But can the Capitals make a dent? Can they get at least a point or two in this stretch? Let's hope and pray. Coach Dan doesn't think so. But that is a story for next week.
I don't have high hopes.
So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
Oh. This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.